PFW Chicago Football Podcast is brought to you by Loot Crate. If you head to lootcrate.com/Shaw, put in that promo code SHAW, you're going to get $3 off your first crate. What is Loot Crate, you ask? You get collectibles, apparel, and more from your favorite pop culture franchise delivered right to your door every single month. New t-shirt in every crate, among with other action figures, stuff for your kitchen, and plenty of exclusive items. And there's an 100% exclusive crate for the month of November, so get ready for this one. lootcrate.com/Shaw. The theme is magical, plenty of things from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China. So again, lootcrate.com/Shaw. Use our promo code Shaw to get $3 off your first crate. Let's talk some Bears. Welcome to PFW Chicago Football Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Fishbane. We are taping this a day away from Bears-Packers Thursday night football for you. I'm sure everyone's pretty excited. I already did a poll, and I asked our readers, our listeners, I should say, are you going to be watching Bears-Packers or Cubs-Dodgers? And I think everyone can guess what the overwhelming support was for. But here on the show, we'll, of course, talk Bears-Packers, recap Bears-Jaguars for you as well. Joined by my executive producer today, Dan Mott. You can follow him on Twitter at Mott's Thoughts. I am at K Fishbane. Follow all of our Bears coverage at Bears_Insider. And of course, all of our great work is at profootballweekly.com/Bears. Go ahead and add us on Snapchat, Bears_Insider. I'll be bringing you Snapchats Thursday night from Lambeau Field, where the Bears have actually had some recent success, winning two of their last three games up at Lambeau, and it'll be kind of a weird game, but we'll get into that later with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette in our Behind Enemy Lines segment. But just a brief look back at, you know, that Bears-Jaguars game, and John Fox said this, the players have said this, it was kind of a carbon copy in some ways of their recent losses. Another fourth quarter blown lead. This one was their worst blown lead, of course, 13-0. As they headed into the fourth quarter. And for those of you who followed me on Twitter, you saw me kind of building up to this. I kept saying, hey, you know, they're about to enter the danger zone. I said the Jaguars are a score away from being a score away. And the Bears kept leaving points on the field. This is the stat that I found about Brian Hoyer. Of every quarterback who has thrown for over 300 yards in a game with no interceptions while completing 60% of his passes, and there's hundreds of quarterbacks that have fit those statistical parameters, no quarterback had a lower passer rating than Brian Hoyer on Sunday. 78 passer rating. Without getting that touchdown, he missed an open Alshon Jeffrey in the first half. They were 1-for-4 in the red zone, had a first and goal at the 5, couldn't punch it in. Penalties were another issue. They had 10 of them on Sunday. And, you know, look, the defense played well. Defense played well against a Jaguars offense that looked awful but has explosive potential. And then you just can't ask your defense to be that good for that long when there's so many young players out there, so many guys on the sideline due to injury, and expect them not to have breakdowns. And they had breakdowns at the end, left Allen Hurns wide open, Tracy Porter, you know, slipped on the turf. Aurelius Ben goes to the house, and the Bears come downfield and can't convert a fourth down on a pass that was behind Alshon Jeffrey. And here we are. They're 1-5. And I said on the show last week, one of the reasons I was picking them was because I couldn't fathom the Bears going 1-7. And that's what they're facing with the Packers on a short week. And then the Vikings, the best team in football, coming to Soldier Field on Monday night, Halloween night, to play the Bears. I mean, you're looking at two more losses. You're looking at 1-7 heading in the bye. Nobody expected this team to be good this year. Yeah, I think I was probably a high watermark picking 8-8. It's a rebuilding team, but yeah, you know, to lose to the Jaguars at home was rock bottom, I think, you know, for this regime. And they're going to talk about all the injuries all they want. And look, I think you have to mention them, that Cutler's out, Eddie Goldman's out, Jeremy Langford's out, Dane Trevathan's, you know, playing essentially with one hand out there. Tracy Porter's banged up, Bryce Callahan in and out of the lineup, no Pernell McPhee, no Leonard Floyd. You know, you lose Kevin White. You got to mention all those things. I get that. but that doesn't excuse losing to a bad Jaguars team when you have a 13-0 lead in the fourth quarter at home, and now they are in the predicament that they're in. So that kind of sets us up for the Thursday night game against the Jaguars. It is color rush night. Dan Mott, I don't know if you've seen what the Bears are wearing, but I like that it's very boring. It's just a straight up navy on navy. I mean, it'll be kind of cool to see it because, like, no one's seen them wear jerseys like this before, and this is obviously a historic franchise. But I like that they didn't try to go orange on orange or some different shade of blue. It's just old school, go navy on navy. It's not going to be look ugly on your television. I'm a fan of it.
You know, when those uniforms came out, and I was looking online at the they had a big panoramic picture of all the teams, and one of the things that struck me is I actually had a hard time finding the Bears because it doesn't look a whole lot different than their current uniforms. And when you look at them, like you said, it's navy on navy, so there is a slight change there, but I don't think Bears fans are going to notice a whole lot of change to these uniforms.
No, they won't. And even if they make it a really cool picture on Instagram with Kyle Long and throw some special effects in there, you know, I don't think fans gonna be tuning in especially for the color rush. You know, we'll have to see. But we do want to talk about the X's and O's of the game, Bears versus Packers, which brings us, of course, behind enemy lines. Joining me now to talk Bears-Packers is Ryan Wood, the Packers beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Check out his work on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. And Ryan, as we get ready for Thursday night football, Bears-Packers, I got to ask you, with Aaron Rodgers in the offense, are you surprised that the Bachelorette and Jordan Rodgers had this much of an impact on the Packers offense this season?
Oh, I know. I mean, out of nowhere, ABC can be ruined. It can be blamed for ruining the Packers season. It seems no. We laughed. There's no shortage of theories on why Aaron Rodgers isn't Aaron Rodgers right now. And I don't know the answer. I think if I did, the Packers would have hired me as a consultant and paid me a lot of money to figure it out by now. I don't think the Packers coaches know the answer. If they did, they would have figured it out a long time ago. It's a true puzzle, and there's no shortage of theories behind it. The bottom line is he has to play better. I mean, you could blame the offense, the scheme. You could blame the receivers. Randall Cobb being open in the end zone in the pass, sailing over his head or fumbling inside the 5-yard line, both of which happened Sunday against the Cowboys. Those are things that are on the quarterback. You have to play better. So until he plays like Aaron Rodgers, 2-time MVP, instead of Aaron Rodgers of the past calendar year, it's not going to be the same offense.
I guess it is nice that Jordan Rodgers can take some of the flack away from Olivia Munn when you talk about the Rodgers family and criticism. But, you know, the back to the X's and O's of it, I think some folks have talked about the route concepts and the play calling. From your vantage point, what role has that played? And maybe how can that be adjusted to help things out?
You know, I'm sure the biggest thing I can see from a schematic standpoint is just simplifying it, primarily with the timing of his drops. It seems to me, and really the best half of football they had was the first half against Detroit, week 3. There were a lot of 3-step drops, a lot of 1-2-3, boom, let it go. The thing that makes Aaron Rodgers so great, you go back to his MVP years, is holding onto the football, extending the play. But there's been a lot of that, and it hasn't been working. And when they go with the quick releases, he's had his most success this season. Now, from an overall 30,000-foot view of the scheme, this is the same scheme it was in 2014. They led the league in scoring. This is the same scheme that they've had a lot of success with. They've broken records with. Sure, things change year to year, but it's just hard for me to believe that overnight, out of nowhere, it goes from arguably the best scheme in the NFL, leading the league in scoring, to the bottom of the league. It just seems unlikely. I think the bottom line, as we said, the quarterback's got to play better. And until he does, it doesn't matter what kind of scheme he's in. It doesn't matter what kind of scheme you have. If your quarterback's not playing up to par, that's the bottom line.
Right. And Ryan, sometimes on the show, we like to kind of bring our listeners behind the curtain a little bit into what life is like as a beat writer. And we had Mike McCarthy on a conference call yesterday, and he was pretty surly with us in some of the questions. Aaron Rodgers handled it fine. He was pretty chill, as he kind of is. From your perspective, what's it been like for these two guys to probably face more criticism and more questions than they maybe ever have since they've been such a successful tandem there?
That's really interesting that you say that he was surly on the conference call, because for most part this season, up until this week, that's the same way he's been with the local media. It's been a 180 with Mike McCarthy this week. The word I keep going back to is he just seems like a coach that has been humbled a little bit. Now, maybe that didn't play out with out-of-town media, which again, I find interesting. But, you know, there's been a, you know, last week he said, I don't know why the hell I have to tell you this offense is, you know, why this offense isn't clicking. It, you know, very defensive, very kind of above reproach. And it's been none of that this week. Now, they just had one of their worst, if not their worst game, really probably dating back to Denver last year. And the difference, obviously, playing this Cowboys defense at home and playing at Denver last year against that Super Bowl defense is night and day. So the context of this past game is a lot different. So it's been different. You know, fans have really grown tired of hearing our questions go unanswered. And that's something I've noticed, especially over social media, is, you know, the question dodging, which is every coach. I mean, John Fox, Mike McCarthy, every coach is going to, the hard part, and you know this, is trying to get solid answers from coaches. But it's been really tiresome within the fan base, because they see week after week this offense being a shell of what it used to be, and not understanding how that happened and not getting the answers. So it's been interesting to see more substantive answers this week. Still nothing in detail on how they move forward and fix it. But more and more each week, they've, including the quarterback, including Aaron Rodgers, they've shouldered blame. They've said, look, we've got to play better. We've got to coach better. We've got to be better. And they've really kind of, I mean, it's not like they can dodge that reality as it is right now, but they've really kind of accepted it more and more, especially this week.
I will say, Ryan, my favorite part of the conference call was somebody asked Mike McCarthy about Aaron Rodgers' interception from last week, to which McCarthy said, I'm not going to get into the specifics of a play, but obviously he didn't see the backside safety. So he did kind of get into the
specifics. Well, it's good to confirm that, you know.
One more thing on the offensive side of the ball. Are you going to be the running back for the Packers on Thursday night?
Very well might be. You know, I am about 240 pounds, so that's right around the Eddie Lacy neighborhood. Frankly, I can run downhill, and not very fast, but I might break a tackle or two. No, you know, it's amazing just how depleted this running back core is. It's Lyle Davis might be the starter tomorrow night, and he wasn't on the roster 2 days ago. So it's really, you know, there's a lot of working parts that they're kind of trying to decipher and move through. James Starks has had surgery to repair a torn meniscus. Eddie Lacy might eventually wind up on the IR. It's a possibility. He's getting a second opinion down in North Carolina this week. It's not a good situation. And just as bad on the other side of the ball, frankly, is the cornerback situation. That they're going to be without their top three cornerbacks. Sam Shields just placed on the IR with a concussion that he suffered in the opener. Hasn't played since Jacksonville. Just placed on the IR yesterday. And Mike McCarthy saying today that Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins will be hard-pressed to play. The cornerback situation is going to be basically Ladarius Gunter, a second-year undrafted player last year, Dimitri Goodson, who missed the first four games this season with PED violation, and probably safety Micah Hyde, who might be their best one, but he's better at safety. So it's a depleted running back position. It's a depleted cornerback position. Those are two pretty important positions that you'd rather not have depleted going into a Thursday night short week.
Yeah, short week games are ugly and wonky to begin with, but this one could be really sloppy because the Bears, as you probably know, also have real cornerback issues. They might be without Tracy Porter and Bryce Callahan, which means they'll have three undrafted players at cornerback with about a combined, I don't know, 12 games experience between them. So that might be what Aaron Rodgers needs to get back on track. We're talking Bears-Packers with Ryan Wood. Go follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Great stuff at the Green Bay Press Gazette. Flipping the defensive side of the ball, Ryan, is it safe to say that front seven, especially the way the offense has kind of been up and down, that the front seven on defense has kind of established itself as maybe the strength of this team, the way Nick Perry, Mike Daniels, and you know, the inside linebackers have been playing?
Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt, even after last week when they were thrashed against the Dallas Cowboys, gave up 191 yards, I think, rushing 150 yards to Ezekiel Elliott. Best offensive line of football the Cowboys have, and it showed. They definitely got beat. And yet, I think even still, as bad as it got, a lot of it, a good portion of it had to do with the offense just putting an impossible amount of pressure on the defense. I mean, the offense got absolutely nothing going, and you saw the defense against a very formidable foe. You saw the defense hold its own early, and by the end, it completely broke. Other than that, the first four games, now you can question certainly the caliber of opponent, especially running the football, but the first four games were a historic start, the best start in Packers history, one of the best starts in NFL history, as far as for four straight games, they didn't give up more than 50 rushing yards in any of the games. It's really been something to see Mike Daniels come into his own. He's played at an all-pro level this year. Nick Perry, a former first-round pick, frankly, a former first-round bust, has played like a different player this year. He's playing career football and is playing like a first-rounder. And Clay Matthews being back outside, I think that gives him something as well. The front of this defense has really been the strength of the team and probably the fiercest defensive front in the league, stopping the run at least. And they have plenty of pass rush, too. So that's something for them to build on, even with the bad offense, even with the issues in the secondary. They've got a real strength there.
Yeah, and that'll be a key matchup because the Bears' offensive line has been playing pretty well, but it looks like they'll be without former Packer Josh Sitton, and the offensive tackles haven't been tested much lately, so that's probably where the Packers can gain an edge. You mentioned the corners struggling in the secondary, but HaHa Clinton Dix, Dow Loggett, the Bears offense coordinator, kind of singled him out. I think a lot of Bears fans still look at him as the guy they wish the Bears had drafted in 2014 instead of Kyle Fuller. What have you seen from him as he's kind of developed now in his third season?
Well, you hear the term a lot, you know, ascending player, and that's what HaHa Clinton Dix really is. He's a stalwart on the back end of their defense. Got great range against the run. He hasn't made a lot of big splash plays this season, certainly not as many as expected. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, the Giants come in and they have Odell Beckham Jr., and everyone thought that he would just completely go ballistic on the secondary. He didn't. They really shut him down. And the biggest reason is probably for the safety play, the two deep shell that they put on and not getting beat on a single snap. And that's HaHa Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett. Back in 2013, for the first time in franchise history, the safety position had no interceptions. It was the worst group of safeties in the NFL. And to see what Ted Thompson has done to really to build that position, not just with Morgan Burnett and HaHa Clinton Dix, but also with Micah Hyde, who gives them really good depth back there and a very versatile guy in the secondary. It's become one of the better safety positions in the league in just a few years. And that's a testament to the general manager here. It's been a night and day kind of shift on the back end of their defense. Quarterback has been another issue at times, but safety has been a strength.
Just a few more here with Ryan Wood as we preview Thursday night Bears-Packers. And Ryan, what do the Packers and maybe even Packers fans think of this rivalry? And the reason I'm asking is because I think Bears fans and people being in Chicago, there's a lot that they put into it. The Bears talk about it a lot. But you're talking about teams that are on different stratospheres in terms of success over the last 20 to 25 seasons. The Bears have won two of the last three in Lambeau, but you know, do the Packers players, do Packers fans, I mean, how much do they still care about this rivalry, especially the way the Vikings have been playing the past couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I think they care, and I think that, frankly, last year going in the Lambeau Field on Thanksgiving night, Brett Favre being honored at halftime and coming out with a win, probably helped the rivalry because it had been so one-sided. I mean, even in 2013 when they came, Aaron Rodgers didn't finish the game. It just wasn't the same. It had been so one-sided for so long that was, I think, a significant win for the rivalry. And yet, you know, I can compare. I've I've covered Auburn football in a past life. I've lived in Alabama, and it's nothing like the Iron Bowl. I mean, it's just not close to that. So it's one of the best rivalries in the NFL, maybe the best rivalry in the NFL when both teams are in contention. But it's been so long since that's been the case that it certainly hurts the rivalry. And you know, I go back to what Mike Zimmer, the Minnesota Vikings coach, said earlier this year when he said in regards to the Packers-Vikings rivalry, the Vikings had to win more to make it a real rivalry. And certainly the Vikings are starting to do that. The Bears have to win more to make it a real rivalry because it really just hasn't been that way. I do think that fans also look at the all-time series and the Packers win both games this year. The all-time series gets tied up. I think that that would be a great source of pride. You know, even last week at the halftime of the Dallas Cowboys game, when Brett Favre received his Hall of Fame ring, it was mentioned that the Packers are number two in Hall of Famers behind the Bears, and there was a loud boo right in the middle of the ceremony when you said Bears. So it resonates, but the Bears have to win more to make it to make the rivalry all it can be.
I assume the Packers are just not going to bring Brett Favre back for a while.
You never know with us. So long as Aaron Rodgers keeps playing, I'm just kidding. So I think three times off the top of my head that he's been back in the past year and a half, starting with the reunion and last July, first time back. And it was early August, mid August, and before camp, and it was a sold out stadium on a non-game day, people tailgating. When Brett Favre came back, he got a loud applause, really put the Vikings episode behind him and this franchise. He was back last time the Bears came to Lambeau Field, last Thanksgiving, and then he was back once again last Sunday. You knew those three times were going to come. It'll be interesting to see the next time he's back because there's really nothing on the horizon plan. It'll be very interesting to see how long it takes for Brett Favre to get back to Green Bay, but three times in the past year and a half.
Yeah, and let's wrap up with this. How excited are you for the Color Rush uniforms?
Whew, boy, that's you got to circle that one on the calendar, don't you? it'll be interesting to see just how bad it'll be. And there's been some bad uniforms this year. I think we can all agree, though, that it's not the prettiest thing that your eyes have ever seen.
No, certainly not. We just thought the Bears one's pretty simple and boring and navy, so maybe the Packers one will be a little more interesting. Ryan, I gotta ask you. Normally we don't do this because games are on Sundays, but because the game is tomorrow, as we're taping this on Wednesday, do you have a pick?
Yeah, I understand that the Bears came in to Lambeau Field last year and they weren't exactly a great team last year, and they won. I think this Bears team is worse than it was last year. You guys cover them. I don't know what you feel, but I can't see the Packers losing tomorrow night to the Bears. I mean, if they do, it would be a low point, in my opinion. It'd be a low point for Mike McCarthy, for this offense, for Aaron Rodgers. So I haven't thought a score yet, and I actually have to submit a score pretty soon for our publication, but I'm taking the Packers. I think that they win by a touchdown or two, and I can't see it any other way.
Well, Ryan, I can tell you that I don't know a single Chicago writer, fan, or maybe anybody who lives in the metropolitan area who thinks the Bears are going to win on Thursday. But then again,
That gives me confidence.
That was the same philosophy last Thanksgiving. So, you know, these Thursday games are weird. So all we can hope for is good uniforms and an entertaining game.
There you go. And no rain this year. It was a monsoon last year, basically. Yeah, no rain this year.
No rain this year. All right, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Go check out his stuff at By Ryan Wood. Ryan, I look forward to catching up with you in Lambeau Field. If I seem a little distracted, it's because it's game five of Cubs-Dodgers.
I understand. Yeah, it's a big deal there on the north side.
All right, thanks for joining us.
Hey, take care.
All right, that was Behind Enemy Lines with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Really good stuff. He writes great features up there in Green Bay, so go ahead and check out his work. And before we finish up breaking down Bears-Packers, got to talk to you about Fan Essentials. How would you like to get all of your favorite NFL teams' merchandise delivered right to your doorstep? Go to fanessentials.net. Pick your favorite sports team every month. you're going to get your team's gear shipped right to your door. They find your sports gear for you, and you don't have to. Fan Comes Box with a lot of amazing gear. Prices start at $34.99, and if you use our promo code Chicago at checkout, you get 30% off your first month. Visit fanessentials.net. Use that promo code Chicago for all the fan essentials that you need. So interesting stuff from Ryan talking about Green Bay. And I think this is bad timing for the Bears because you're getting a Packers team on a short week, extremely banged up, you know, not expected to have Eddie Lacy or James Starks. He mentioned all the cornerbacks who are out. This is the time to get an upset, and you look at the other side. We don't have the injury report yet, but I'm not expecting Jay Cutler, Jeremy Langford, Eddie Goldman to be back. You can't expect Tracy Porter to be able to return in a short week. Eddie Royal also banged up, and Josh Sitton. So all those guys, those are six very important players, are out. The question mark at hand is Pernell McPhee. Will Pernell McPhee be activated for this game? He's only practiced twice, and they were very light walkthrough-type practices. So, you know, McPhee's the type of guy who can just get out there and make an impact. And look, if he gets you one sack, if he gets you one forced fumble, that's an impact. You know, Vic Fangio said you can't just be out there. You gotta play well. So that's going to be the thing for McPhee. And if they can get Leonard Floyd back, that'll at least boost the pass rush, which played well against Rodgers last year. The coverage was so good. And that's one of the reasons they pulled the upset. But that coverage was good with Tracy Porter, who had the game of his life last year. And the Bears might not have him. So there's going to be some opportunities for the Bears to get points through the air, get yards through the air. And they should have an advantage against the Packers' run game with all these guys out. The question is, can they take advantage of it? And I'll say this, you know, Dan, we like to talk about the spread. It opened at 10, went down to 9. It's actually down to Packers by 7.5, which is interesting. I think maybe a lot of money going in on the Bears, maybe not having Eddie Lacy and those cornerbacks impacting it. But I'm kind of with Ryan. It's hard for me to see the Bears pulling the upset on the road on a short week when Rodgers is going to be feasting on Cravon LeBlanc, Jacoby Glenn, Devontae Bousby. Those are your starting Bears cornerbacks. So I got to imagine that this is the type of game that the Packers offense can get back on track. Before I get your pick, Dan,
yeah,
we are recording this Wednesday. A bad Cubs loss last night, and game four is tonight. Game five is during Bears-Packers on Thursday. Where is your level of confidence versus panic?
You know, I noticed a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter last night starting their panic. I'm still feeling pretty good. I think if the Cubs lose tonight, obviously that's time to start panicking a little bit. But I mean, time after time this entire season, this Cubs team has shown us that don't count them out. I mean, they've shown us they can come back. I mean, these home runs in the ninth inning to go ahead and you can't count this team out. And I think that I hope that they can pull a win off tonight and we could kind of even the playing field once again and, you know, start, you know, even a new series if they could tie things up and we'll see. But I'm not panicking just yet.
Okay, that's good. Now, I will tell you, my Bubby is panicking. Bubby texted me Tuesday night, it's over, I've given up, they haven't scored a run, you know, since the eighth inning of game one, it's done.
You know what, though? That's the old Cub mentality, and I found myself this whole season, I still, like, even in this playoffs, I still can't bring myself to think in the direction that I had just mentioned about staying calm, because you're so used to these Cubs blowing it year after year after year. So I totally get it. The people that are panicking, it's feasible because that's the kind of Cubs we're used to.
And I will say this for those of you who are into superstition. Last week we recorded a podcast. We were really tired. We talked about a tough Cubs loss the night before, and we all remember what happened last week when they rallied back in game four. So we'll see what happens in game four tonight, game five on Thursday night. Hopefully, you know what, here's so you don't have to worry about the TV. Here's what you should do, Bears fans. Have the Cubs game on, if you're more interested in Cubs Dodgers, and then just have Bears underscore Insider and K Fishbane up on your Twitter and profootballweekly.com/Bears, and then you can get all your Bears coverage without even having to change the channel. And add us on Snapchat, Bears underscore Insider, to get sights and sounds from Lambeau Field, because Dan, we are here to help our Bears fans, our listeners, enjoy what's been a pretty brutal start to the season. And we'll see if they can turn it around in Green Bay. Dan Mott, who do you got on Thursday night?
Kevin, I'm siding with our good friend today, Ryan Wood. I got to go with Packers. I don't have faith in this Bears team anymore. They've, just like last week, they've proven, you know, time after time that even if they have the lead, they'll blow it. And, I got to side with the Packers. The fact that people are betting on the Bears is just, you know, you mentioned that a little bit ago. That just made me laugh. I'm not a betting man, but I certainly wouldn't put my money on the Bears. And as a Bears fan, that hurts to say. But I'm going to go with Packers, and I'm going to say that I don't think it'll be a big win. I think that it'll be, I'm going to say Bears or Packers 21, and let's say Bears 14. I know that's sort of a cop-out pick of score, but I think that the Packers only win it by a touchdown.
You know, Dan, if that's the score, the Bears cover the spread. Okay. So you bet on the Bears then. You could do that.
That's true.
The spread was 9 when I had to make my pick, and I originally had the Bears covering. Like, I had them losing by 8. But then looking at all the injuries, seeing the guys not practicing, and it's just hard to see it happening again like it did last year. I think it's going to be an ugly game, and the Bears have to hope for a sloppy game, turnovers everywhere, focus on just running the ball, try to get past that Packers front 7, but hope that Brian Hoyer continues to not turn the ball over. You have to find a way to, you know, keep the Packers offense struggling, but it's just hard for me to foresee that. I had a Packers 29, Bears 16, another game full of field goals for Connor Barth and the Bears. That'll do it for this week's episode of PFW's Chicago Football Podcast. Be sure to check out all of our work at profootballweekly.com/Bears. And Thursday, go get your Sun-Times, Daily Herald, or Northwest Herald to check out our Pro Football Weekly insert with more Bears-Packers coverage, as well as stuff for fantasy football this week. Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m., set your DVRs or watch live on WCIU. We'll have our Chicago Football Now show. Hub and Arthur and Greg Gabriel will talk a little Bears-Packers. We'll talk NFL draft, and you can see images of me from Lambeau Field chiming in after the Bears-Packers game. I'll be up in Lambeau tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter at KFishbane for all of the updates. Thank you again for listening. Enjoy Color Rush and Thursday Night Football. Go Cubs, and more Bears talk next week.